When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Baker's, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Baker's worth it every time. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. I recently shared that new car inventory is back to pre-pandemic levels, but I have new information today that numbers are even better for you and worse for the car business than I thought. I'm going to tell you where the deals are for new vehicles. And also, I want to tell you there's a shift going on that affects your wallet with energy supplies that I'm going to fill you in on and let you know what your best play is based on the changes going on. So let's talk car business, because this is really something. This is industry data designed for the automotive industry. And I find this stuff because it's the second largest purchase that the typical American makes in his or her life is buying vehicles. So I read both the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press every day because they are the best sources for covering the automotive industry. And then I get referral to these things from articles I read there at those sites. And there's a new chart that I'm looking at right this second talking to you that shows what's known as theoretical days supply of vehicles, new vehicles for different brands. And the automotive industry operates on an equilibrium being a 55-day supply. And that's how they come up with that, is that from the time a vehicle finishes the assembly line till it's loaded onto a train or transport to move across the country to then go on a truck to deliver to a dealer and all that, and then put it on the lot, the perfect inventory amount for the consumer and the auto manufacturer is 55 days theoretical supply, doing that math formula. Right now, the industry is at 80 days, 80. Now, you go back during the supply chain disruptions that started in COVID, and automakers had no inventory. Dealer lots were flat out empty. Now those lots in whole are overflowing. But there is still a big difference from one automaker to another. So it's not a monolith. But what's important for you to know is brands that have an excess supply, both the brand and the branded dealer, are really trying to sell those vehicles big time. So that means a lot more manufacturers' incentives and rebates and special financing offers you're seeing pop up on the TV ads. And then the dealers discounting below manufacturer-suggested retail like it used to be, and that's become routine again. So we went through this cycle where dealers were just saying, oh yeah, we're selling these 20,000 above manufacturer-suggested retail, or 10,000, or whatever number. Right now, that ain't happening, except with two brands. And even with them, usually not any kind of additional dealer markup. Toyota is the most in-demand product in the United States right now. And they have only a 36-day supply. Now, remember, 55 is normal. The industry average right now, 80. So Toyota dealers, they're really in a great position, as is Toyota, because their products are really, really in. And the most recent Consumer Reports list that is coming out in the April issue of Consumer Reports magazine, it's actually subscribers already have it, shows that one Toyota after another are on their top list to buy. By the way, the other brand that ranked really high on that Consumer Reports list, Subaru. And Tesla had one vehicle on the list, which was the Model Y, the compact SUV, or whatever you'd call that, that Tesla sells. And one Ford, the Maverick pickup truck that is really, really a hot buy in the marketplace. But I digress. So Toyota is the hottest selling brand. So for a consumer, your bargaining power is not as great. The other brand that's selling really well right now, Honda. Honda has a 48-day supply. And then after that, it gets really bad ugly. Now, who's got the largest supply of any brand? Ram. 153-day theoretical supply. I don't think I've ever seen an 153-day supply. Genesis, Hyundai's luxury brand, sub-brand, 126 days. Infiniti, 123. Jeep, 119. Buick, 119. Audi, 107. I forgot, Nissan, 112. Ford, 104. Volkswagen, 101. I feel like I'm doing election returns. The reason I'm mentioning these is these brands that are over a 100-day supply for most models they sell, you have maximum power right now looking to buy a new version. And because of specific disruptions in the used vehicle market, you will likely find that a brand new of these brands will be cheaper to buy than a two-year-old of these brands buying used. An unusual inversion of how pricing usually works. But brand after brand is not selling well when you consider how many days supply. Mercedes, 91 days. Hyundai, 93. Mini, 96. Mitsubishi, 97. Did I mention Volkswagen, 101? I mean, this is not historically rotten numbers for the car business, but these are not good numbers for them, which means your numbers are so much better. And guess what? Guess what? Trailing indicator, but the price of new cars has been going down in absolute dollar numbers. And when you look at what's known as purchasing power that a consumer has, as Barron said in last week's issue, it looks like a buyer's market. So you have real power if you shop the right way for a new vehicle. And we have step-by-step how to shop for a new vehicle on Clark.com. Take advantage of the information we have there and get your best deal because the market is your friend. Krista?
Cheryl in Massachusetts has a question about cars. My husband is a plasterer, and he has been buying Ford Transit vans, the standard size, for several years, as the small cargo van allows room for blue board and other equipment. But it's small enough to fit in our garage and has better mileage than full-size vans. Apparently, the U.S. is getting out of the small cargo van business, and Ford stopped making them in 2023. Do you know why, and can you offer any economical alternative?
You know, I don't know why, because I've always loved the small version of the Transit Connect that you're talking about, because it was amazingly roomy inside for people who work in service industries, construction, anything like that. Big inside, small outside. I just love that kind of efficient combination. The Transit Connect was designed and originally built in Europe. So my answer for it is that this is an opportunity with it being a discontinued model, and there is no alternative I know compared to the smallest version of the Transit Connect that anybody else is selling. Maybe somebody will post a comment that I should think about this brand, this model, that model, but I'm not aware of one that is the exact niche that the small Transit Connect filled. So buying used ones over time would make sense for a good while to come for your husband. And if there really is a hole in the marketplace, as competitive as the automotive industry is, someone will come in and fill it.
Bookstore from Melissa in Washington. Clark, you recently shared about the scammy vanilla Visa card. My son received one for a graduation gift and it was trouble immediately. Upon trying to activate it, we got a message there was no such card in the system and we needed to call to activate it via phone. Turns out, crooks had put a fake slip of paper into the envelope covering the barcode with different barcode, and then when Auntie purchased the card, it put the money on another gift card the scammers had. Thankfully, she saved her receipt, and after much go-around with some non-English-speaking customer service people, language barriers make this so hard, the money was loaded to the Visa card about a month later. We had to email photos of the receipt, ID, gift card, and card packaging to the company. Auntie was so sick about the whole thing, and we learned a valuable lesson. Check the gift card envelopes very carefully to make sure they have not been tampered with. Better yet, just give cash to those graduating kids. They'd rather have that anyway.
Melissa, thank you for following up on our consumer alert about the vanilla product from Visa. It is a defective product. Do not buy them. Visa, shame on you that you put a product out there that you did not design in adequate security. And I realize you'd have to think like a crook to figure out how easy it was for crooks to penetrate the vanilla Visa product and steal the hard-earned money that people use to buy these cards so often for businesses giving them as rewards to employees. Don't fall for any pitch ever to buy a vanilla Visa card until and unless Visa fixes the extreme security problems with this card. And I explained this before, but if you missed that podcast, any gift card that is out on a display rack that you can reach as a consumer, do not buy, because criminals have figured out how to steal the money from them in advance before you purchase and activate a gift card of any kind that is out on display in a store, not held in a secure facility, room, whatever. Now, I wanted to mention Costco now keeps all their cards where, Krista, do you know?
In the cage.
In the cage, so that they cannot be manipulated like they are elsewhere. And other retailers, I know it's a labor cost, but other retailers, if they want their gift cards to be secure, need to do that as well.
This one is a very hard one to read, Clark. Sarah in New York says, my two kids, 8 and 10, were diagnosed with a rare progressive neurological condition like MS or ALS. My car is now 15 years old. We are saving for a house as we will need a ranch. We have a Cape style home. It will be too difficult to build additions, etc., to accommodate two wheelchairs. Their disease is scary. The prospect of financially preparing to maximize their independence as we age is also very scary. They will likely need wheelchairs in the next 5 years, at least to pack in the back. Do I buy a minivan now or buy a smaller, less costly vehicle with higher mileage and be prepared to sell it and get a van 5 years from now?
Sarah, my heart goes out to you, and you've got an interesting journey in front of you along with your two kids.
Also, I'm praying they find some kind of a cure or something to help them.
Because the advances in medicine with so many diseases are just so impressive. And there may be research going on that can be helpful to your two kids as time progresses. So you've got a lot you've got to deal with. The move you're going to do. Also, if the need for the van for transport for, you know, one of the modified vans for wheelchairs is 5 years or so away, don't buy one now. You're putting miles on a vehicle and laying out an expense that really is an expense that we're looking at towards the end of this decade. So don't do anything now about buying a modified van. You'll have plenty of time to do that down the road. Do as you thought about, buy a smaller, less costly vehicle, but newer than your 15-year-old vehicle that you have reliable transportation. And then 5 years hence, or whatever that time exactly turns out to be, that's when you buy the modified van. You may already know this. I just want to mention there are a variety of support groups available for children with degenerative pediatric diseases. They will be very, very helpful to you because there will be other parents going through a similar journey to yours who've been there, done that, and can guide you. And they're also great for support for you.
Would an ABLE account have any role here?
So I don't know what Sarah's financial condition is right now, but Sarah, I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about a 529 ABLE, but this is a special provision of the tax code where you are able to put money aside for each child in a tax-free account that is for their needs later in life and will not affect any eligibility for assistance that the government at state and federal level may have available to you for your kids as their needs medically increase. And the 529 ABLEs, there's not a lot written about them, but they operate under the same tax code as those college savings accounts. Each child, you're allowed to have up to, under current law, up to $100,000 eventually in their ABLE accounts to pay for expenses they have later in life. And we have an explanation about how ABLEs work at Clark.com. And I want to wish you and your whole family the best moving forward and hope and pray that science and medicine will join together to come up with answers to be of help to your kids and to others with similar conditions. Coming up ahead, there's a shift going on with energy in the United States. I want to talk about how that affects you, what you need to know, and that's coming straight ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want to tell you that we get so many questions from people asking about rooftop solar. And it's something that we ration how many questions we take, because the rooftop solar industry for residences is in crisis. And there are a number of factors that have led to this. But one is utilities around the country have discovered how efficient it is for them to get power from solar farms. And so consumers putting solar on their rooftop has become generally in most of the country non-economic. And state governments have reduced, in many cases, the incentives that are available for putting rooftop solar in. People who already had it are okay. People trying to add it find that it is a difficult process. And doesn't have the payback that it had prior. This is a shift from what was considered to be a movement in the country towards decentralized power that is happening in other countries, but not really happening here like I thought and experts in the industry thought would happen. But what is happening is big utility companies are installing the most efficient power for them, the cheapest power for them to provide, which is overwhelmingly renewable energy of various types, which is now 25% of power supply in the United States. And that number is growing quite rapidly with utilities owning or owning rights to, depending on where they are in the United States, solar, wind, or other forms of renewable. Hydro's been part of the picture for a long time. But the reason this is happening is not because of manipulation by government or anything like that. This is happening because the cheapest kilowatts that a power company can get pretty much anywhere in the United States is from solar and wind and hydro. The most expensive right now is generally going to be coal. Natural gas is playing a bigger and bigger role in the U.S., but there's a problem with renewable energy, and that is, what do you do when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing? And so there's been a breakthrough. Power companies are installing, as peaking power and stored power, these battery packs, these industrial battery units. And I have seen one of these setups that was not for renewable. It's for traditional power, but during peak times. And there are an array of these industrial-looking cabinets. And in each cabinet is a big battery, because the cost of batteries has gone down so much that the way we get power is changing. But one of the things we face in the United States, because of storms, and second, because of weather extremes, third possibility is some kind of hack or whatever, is that power is not as reliable as it used to be, regardless of the source. So that brings me back to something that we get so many more questions about than we used to. And I've talked from time to time about the new battery-powered household generators that do not provide whole house energy, but they're various sizes that you charge, have on standby, and you can run basic things in your home. And they are an affordable solution to not have to replace everything in your refrigerator, have lights on, maybe in the winter have some heat. Air conditioning is a bigger challenge, but that is solved at a higher cost. And that's people putting in, instead of traditional natural gas or propane generators, people putting in the same kind of but smaller version batteries that the utilities are now installing to provide backup power to your home or your small business. And they are not a cheap purchase, but they allow you to continue to operate, depending on how many batteries you get, for a meaningful period of time that hopefully would last through most any blackout that you would experience in your neighborhood or your area. But this shift is one that's marketplace driven to having power supplied by the lowest cost source. And that right now is renewables. In the future, it could be some form of traditional fossil fuel. But right now, the cost in the marketplace has become so low for producing power from renewables that that's what's seizing more and more market share. Krista?
Julie in Colorado says, my husband is 56 years old and we have two kids ages 12 and 14. We are now in the process of looking for life insurance. I know, a little late in the game. and wondering if it's a bad idea to have life insurance bundled together with all the others, car, house, etc., with the same company, or is it better to keep it separate?
There's no problem, Julie, if the provider you have and the two bigs that sell auto and home and also sell life insurance are State Farm and USAA. There may be another here or there that
Amica sell. Amica does.
Amica also does. But that is an easy button kind of choice, but it may not be the cheapest. So what I like for you to do is get a quote on level term insurance from the insurer that provides your home and auto insurance, and then get other quotes from one of the quotation services that we have a guide to on Clark.com. And there are some that you'll be able to secure a policy without a medical exam, but most are going to require past age 45 are going to require a traditional medical exam to qualify for level term insurance. Now, at 56, you're going to be disappointed at what level term insurance costs because it's all actuarially based. And so you may find that you want to buy a policy that is meaningfully shorter than what I'd usually recommend. And it would cover the rest of your working lifetime, maybe a 15-year policy that would cover till age 71. The kids would be at that point 27, 29 years old. And that would cover the lion's share of your remaining working lifetime and would get the kids, they're not emerging adults anymore, late 20s, into adulthood at that point. And it'll all depend on health, what those premiums will be for that level term. But it's why it's so important to shop around at any age, but especially in your 50s, and not just get a single quote from your existing insurer for auto and home.
Lisa in Alabama says, Clark, love your show and want to share a tip about fraudulent returns. Depending on the retailer, if it's an option, order any electronic, tech, or other expensive items as in-store pickup. This enables someone to open the package right there at the pickup counter within the store. If needed, you can address any potential fraud issues real-time with the retailer directly there.
I love this. This is so true. It kills the convenience of e-commerce, but with clicks and bricks, the retailers love it when they don't have to pay UPS or FedEx to deliver, or the Postal Service. You take that cost out of the system for them, and you short circuit having a big hassle dealing with fraud where the package you get is not what it's supposed to be.
And Alan in Florida says, you've obviously found your mission in life. I'm curious, if you hadn't done this show, what would you have done for your career?
Gosh, you know, Alan, it's so weird because I was retired with no intention of ever working again when I ended up in broadcasting. I'd retired at 31. I'd been very fortunate in business and had sold a company and had various investments. And I was not intending, had no thought about working again. I just kind of fell in to this as a new career that's now gone on a long time. So what I always had wanted to do from when I was 6 years old was I had always wanted to run for public office. And I never did, not even close. I considered running for office twice. But if there had been something else I would have done, that would have been it. And then that would have been so funny because, you know, they say your most popular day is the day before you announce you're running for office, because then ultimately a lot of people hate you no matter what. But that is what I would have done. I was always drawn to that. It's what I went to college to study, went to college in Washington, D.C. to be in the heart of the political world and work for the government while I was in undergraduate school, and thought that that was going to be my future. And I never really came close after that. But that is the likeliest answer of what I would have done with my life instead of what I've had the privilege to do over all these decades in various forms of media, this podcast on YouTube and our audio version of the podcast, our websites, all of this. turned out to be a great mission in life for me. I've loved doing it, and I feel like I've probably been able to serve more people doing this than I would have been able to do in politics. So I guess I ended up on this unexpected but right path for my life. And it's funny because I'm not good at being introspective, but if I think about it, that's what would have been the alternative. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast, where our mission is clear. It's to guide you ways so you can save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off at all times.